CKNY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us. Before we introduce our guest and topic today, news coming from the House of Representatives this morning that they passed this resolution formalizing this impeachment inquiry against President Trump. Western Journal reports that the final vote, 232 to 196, almost entirely along party lines. According to Fox News, not a single Republican voted for the resolution. However, Representative Justin Amash of Michigan, a Republican-turned-independent, did vote in favor of it. Two Democrats voted no. That's Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey and Colin Peterson of Minnesota. The vote was not to impeach the president. Rather, it's to formalize the existing impeachment inquiry and setting up the ground rules, which are totally unfair. But President Trump quickly responded, "The greatest witch hunt in American history." He tweeted that out. Well, no doubt we'll have more tomorrow in our news roundup on that issue, but that breaking news here this morning. Now, turning our attention to another important news item this week, IsraelNationalNews.com tells us that this past Sunday morning, as other media did, that President Donald Trump gave this a televised address alerting the nation that the Islamic State's caliph, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, was dead. The U.S. Delta Force penetrated his hideout in Syria close to the Turkish border. He tried to escape by getting into a tunnel, taking three of his children along. It's here where dogs pursued him and reportedly detonated a suicide belt which he had strapped to his body. Well, today we will not only provide some analysis of what transpired this week, but also a warning about Islamic saturation right here in the United States. Joining us, we welcome back to Crosstalk Phil Haney. He's one of the founding members of the Department of Homeland Security, as he also served as a Customs Border Protection Officer who retired honorably in 2015 with some 15 years of combined federal service. He's the author of See Something, Say Nothing, which is a best-selling expose of the Obama administration's submission to the goals and policies of the Muslim Brotherhood. He has 45 years of experience in the strategy and tactics of the global Islamic movement, also has extensive experience in threat analysis and intelligence, and extremely familiar with Middle Eastern culture, history, and current affairs. Phil, nice to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Phil, we're going to take a look first at what took place in Syria this past weekend, but then we'll also see how this is being treated in the U.S. and warnings that we have. But we understand that there were many months of planning into this operation, many members of the Delta Force, a number of helicopters. What was your reaction when the news unfolded this past weekend?
I call it point, counterpoint, checkmate. You know, there was a lot of hysteria and virtue signaling about Trump's policy. So he withdrew a small number of U.S. forces from that area up along the border with Turkey and drew al-Baghdadi right into a trap. And it's a sad allegory. He ran himself into a dead-end tunnel, both actually and allegorically. And you'll notice that Abdi, the leader of the Syrian Kurds, stated publicly with no contradiction that they were very much involved in the operation. So that's a response to the criticism of President Trump that he had abandoned the Kurds. No, just the opposite. They're actually involved in intel operations that led to the demise of al-Baghdadi, the leader of the Islamic State. Mm-hmm. That puts everybody on notice. The other thing to keep in mind is whatever the number of troops actually there on the ground in that arena, meaning Iraq, Syria, Jordan, that general area, we're capable of precision operations at a moment's notice. And don't think that they don't realize that in the Middle East. It's not a matter of how many ground troops we have. It's a matter of human intel, strategy and tactics, and a precision strike. And that's exactly what they did. And you mentioned Israel. It does sound an awful lot like a kind of an Israeli-type operation, didn't it?
It sure does, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Help us understand who this guy was, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Who exactly was he?
Well, he was actually a prodigy. He was a sheikh, a student, a scholar of Sharia law. So that's one of the disinformation or misinformation narratives you're going to hear, is that people are going to probably try to, or not probably, they are, trying to say that al-Baghdadi did not represent Islam.
Mm-hmm.
No, just the opposite. He was a trained scholar of Sharia law. Everything that he did was based on precedent from Sharia law and from the Hadith and the Quran itself. He was essentially a prodigy, as I said, a genius. He started in madrasa when he was 8 to 10 years old, went through training, then went to a university and received essentially a PhD in Sharia and what's called fiqh, F-I-Q-H, which is the Arabic word for law. So he wasn't just some guy that fell off the back of the turnip truck. He was a very well-educated person, and he knew precisely the Quranically based authorization for the strategy and tactics that he pursued while he was leader of Islamic State. So that's one misnomer. And I bring it up because it doesn't do us any good in America to have a false impression of who he was.
Yeah, and I want to comment further on that point you just made, because I asked you that question, who he is, for a variety of reasons, but one is this sympathetic obituary that the Washington Post wrote for him. I mean, they wrote this obituary detailing his life, as one observer pointed out. The obituary read more like we should be celebrating his life. They referred to him as an austere religious scholar with wireframe glasses. During his tenure, the Islamic State would come to mirror its leader, a messianic figure drawn to the harshest interpretation of Islamic texts and seized with the conviction that all dissenters should be put to death. They wrote that he had a canny pragmatism as a leader. They said it was a combination of extremist ideology and practical military experience that enabled the group to seize and hold military and would form the basis of this declared Islamic caliphate. They talked about his academic life. They talked about made him out to be a peaceful Muslim who then studied Islamic law. They kept changing their headline, though, from terrorist in chief to austere religious scholar to extremist leader. And Phil, this just gives the American people a wrong impression as how we are to remember this terrorist just being a religious scholar.
Well, let's try to make it. Let's turn the equation around a little bit. What if somebody came to you and said, "You're a moderate Christian"? How would you feel about that?
Hmm.
What's that? What's a moderate Christian anyway?
Yeah.
Or if they said to you, "Well, you're an extremist Christian." Well, what's that? Or an extremist Jew or a moderate Jew theologically. What exactly does that mean? The fact is, it doesn't mean anything. And Muslims around the world are highly offended if you imply that they're simply moderate. There's no Muslim on the planet that would agree that he's simply a moderate Muslim. No. It's a misnomer. It's another one of these misinformation, false narrative that's been perpetuated essentially since 9/11, that somehow somebody like al-Baghdadi has hijacked the peaceful religion of Islam, when in fact he's only following the path that's been set in place for 1,400 years.
Yeah.
And we're seeing what has happened repeatedly throughout history, from the very first battles that Muhammad fought, something like 80 plus during his lifetime, all the way to going clear across North Africa, jumping across the Straits of Gibraltar in the year 711, confronting the King of France, Charles Martel, in the year 21, about 100 years after Muhammad died. Now, how did they get there from Saudi Arabia to the plains of France if it was a peaceful religion?
Hmm.
And we could go on right through the entire sequence of events of history. No, al-Baghdadi is just like hundreds and hundreds of other like slave traders, the Barbary pirates that controlled the Mediterranean for 1,000 years. That's where slaves came from, was Arab Muslim slave traders. So there's lots of pieces of the story that contradict this strange narrative that we just can't seem to accept the fact that these guys are not hijackers of a peaceful religion as much as they're representatives of the original founder, meaning Muhammad himself.
And that's what's so interesting, because we are indeed hearing, you know, from both political parties that that have indicated, well, the Islamic State has nothing whatsoever to do with Islam. But I noticed October 28th, Reuters reported that al-Baghdadi's remains, he had a burial at sea, and it afforded him religious rites according to Islamic custom. So if indeed he had nothing to do with Islam, why then does he have an Islamic burial rites?
Well, that's a really good question. They did the same thing with Osama bin Laden, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I still really haven't been able to figure out a snappy answer to that.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Other than that we want to be seen as reasonable and civilized. That's the only thing I can really think of right now, is why we would do that. And I guess, you know, discretion is a better part of valor. If we're going to be fighting with them, don't add fuel to the fire and make things even worse than they already are by doing something blatantly offensive, like, you know, just burying him without any respect. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess it's trying to err on the side of caution.
Hmm.
I really don't know a better answer than that.
Yeah. Well, certainly there is a connection between the belief system of ISIS and Islam, is there not?
Absolutely. There's no such thing as radical Islam. This is orthodox Islam. This is pure Islam. But they have been doing this, practicing Islam this way for 1,400 years. What we're just seeing is a modern version of it. And by the way, it's not just Islamic State. The new designated leader of Islamic State has stated plainly that they have allies all over the world. People like Boko Haram in Africa and Al-Qaeda of the Indian subcontinent, all the way across from Afghanistan through Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, and Myanmar, is a larger coalition of affiliated jihadi groups than Al-Qaeda, as we know it, and Islamic State, as we know it, combined. And that's another part of the equation that we're not discussing. There's much more to this picture than simply al-Baghdadi.
We're going to take a quick break. Phil Haney is with us here today on Crosstalk, one of the founding members of the Department of Homeland Security, also served as a Customs Border Protection Officer, and giving some analysis to this whole matter. But, folks, after the break, we're going to bring this a little bit closer to home, because our guest today is not only concerned that we can kill an ISIS leader abroad, but recognize that the Muslim Brotherhood poses a threat to our safety here in the United States. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what kind of life lives in the deep ocean?
Chris, we're just now beginning to explore the deep ocean. Recently, a very exotic form of life was discovered around seafloor vents, where superheated water bubbles out from the interior of the earth into the cold oceans. There's no light down there, but submarines have discovered much life around these vents. Evolutionists are quick to point out that this must be the kind of life that was the original life billions of years ago, but not so fast. Recent research projects have shown that these pods of life around the seafloor vents are not old in any sense. They may be only a few thousand years old, not billions as required by evolution. And they certainly didn't spring to life from non-living chemicals. If it's living, God created it, and He did so back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. With us today, we have Phil Haney. As we pointed out, he is a founding member of the Department of Homeland Security, worked as a CBP, as Customs Border Protection Officer, and author of See Something, Say Nothing. Certainly, we're taking a look at not only at the announcement that came forth this Sunday morning, but also, let's further that here to a warning as to what's happening within the United States. And, Phil, you've warned, we can kill the ISIS leader there, but will they recognize the Muslim Brotherhood threat to our personal safety here? You have said that the Islamic saturation within the United States government is worse now than under Obama. Do you really mean that?
Yes, I do. I hate to have to say it, but it's true, because the Muslim Brotherhood, as we speak, today is the 31st of October, 2019, is saturated into the Department of Justice, the FBI, Congress, academia, the military, Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, Department of State, the entire faith community, or a large swath of the faith community. And this saturation, like a rising tide, is even lapping on the toes of the White House itself.
Wow.
And the reason why it's worse is kind of like driving without a seatbelt. If you drive and you get in an accident and hurt yourself because you're not wearing a seatbelt, let's just hope that's a learning experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you wouldn't do that again. But what if you do it again? You go out and you get in another accident. This time you're not wearing your seatbelt and you get hurt even worse. It's worse, right? Because you're supposed to know better.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that people like myself swore an oath to help protect our country from threat both foreign and domestic. We're opposed every step of the way as we've tried to bring to light the nature of the threat that we face, not only in the foreign policy arena, threat both foreign and domestic, but also here, within the structure of our government, starting at the federal level, which is where I worked. And my specialty was two major groups, the Muslim Brotherhood and its network of individuals and organizations operating here in current real time here in the United States, and also another large group from the Asian subcontinent that was connected to the San Bernardino shootings, known as Tablighi Jamaat, which comes under a larger umbrella called the Deobandi movement. Think of it as two large branches of the same tree. In the Asian subcontinent, you have Pashto Urdu-speaking jihadis under the umbrella of the Al-Qaeda of the Indian subcontinent. And in the West, starting with the Near East, the Arab-speaking jihadis, all the way into here, United States, primarily represented by the Muslim Brotherhood. And why it's worse, in a nutshell, is because it's already been proven by the Department of Justice in federal court in November of 2008 that the groups that we're going to be talking about that have saturated into the federal government structure were proven to be front groups for the Muslim Brotherhood with direct connection to a globally designated terrorist organization we've all heard of called Hamas. So if those individuals representing organizations that were already spotlighted in federal court are literally walking up and down the halls of Congress, sitting in meetings in the Department of State, or in the Department of Justice, or in the Department of Homeland Security, would you agree with me that that would be considered worse?
Yeah, wow. Well, I saw even in regard to the killing of this ISIS leader, we have Congresswoman Ilhan Omar that saw that townhall.com pointed out that after she was called out on Twitter for not responding to this, she finally managed to post a photo right away of herself, but this time she's wearing a CARE t-shirt. The Council on American Islamic Relations doesn't, and so she's donning herself in this CARE t-shirt, doesn't CARE support terrorist groups like Hamas?
That's why I call it saturation. It's just like water soaking into sponge. She's doing it right out in the broad daylight. Of course, Chair. We have known that since 1993. The FBI wiretapped their meetings in Philadelphia, and the people that founded CARE were known members of Hamas. The leader of CARE to this very day he was one of the original people in 1993 in Philadelphia. And so when a member of Congress is blatantly and openly advertising the fact that she's affiliated with a known front group for Hamas, what would you call that?
Yeah. Well, and what's amazing with this, Phil, is that according to CARE, and I saw this from an email they sent out, they report that more than 120 members of Congress have sent letters now welcoming CARE's 25th anniversary gala coming up Saturday, November 9th at the Grand Hyatt in Washington, D.C. It's not just Ilhan Omar. You've got 120 members of Congress saying, welcome to D.C.
Not only that, friend, that's the second cache of letters.
Wow.
The Investigative Project for Terrorism last year released their investigative results and found, and I have copies, you can get the copies of the letters on the web, of 102 members of Congress who sent commendation letters to CARE up to about November of 2018, about a year ago. Those we have in hand. Now comes to light, according to CARE's own website, and I'm looking at it right now, in the lead up to their 25th anniversary gala, as you said, right in Washington, D.C., they're advertising right on their website that at least 120 members of Congress have sent letters to CARE. CARE is a front group for Hamas.
Hmm.
That's saturation.
Yeah. So how, I mean, this intelligence, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. How can these 120, and I'm sure there's others as well, be so careless with intelligence and not understand the threat that a Hamas-friendly group has that they're welcoming?
I don't think they're careless. I think they don't care.
Hmm.
There's a difference. Because you're right, there's absolutely no excuse. These are individuals who are elected by trust of the American people to defend the Constitution. And the bottom line is that organizations like CARE, front groups for the Muslim Brotherhood, have a very plainly stated goal. And guess what, friend? It's exactly the same goal as ISIS. Exactly.
Mm.
The only difference is tactical. The groups here in the United States are soaking into the sponge of our society like water, soaking into a sponge that's floating on the water. Where, on the other hand, groups like ISIS and other parts of the world, or Boko Haram or Hamas or you name it, are pushing on the sponge from above, pressure. That's called terrorism. But the point is to saturate the sponge with water. And so they both have the same goal, the same strategy. And what is that? Well, this water that we're referring to saturate into the sponge is Sharia. Because Sharia, Islamic law, is the only source of stability and certainty in the entire Islamic worldview. In the universe of Islam, there's only one thing that's reliable. Not the U.S. Constitution, not any other form of government. Strangely enough, not even natural law. It's Sharia, because you're probably wondering what I mean. The Islamic calendar is lunar. It never corrects for the fact that a lunar calendar lacks number of days as a solar calendar. So their calendar goes backwards 11 days every year. So they're not even connected to the natural order of the world that we live in. Seasons. They'll celebrate Ramadan 11 days earlier every single year. So in one man's average lifetime, they're only going to celebrate it once or twice at the same time. It's like celebrating Christmas during winter, summer, fall, and spring.
Hmm.
There's no actual continuity. So the only thing that provides stability in the Islamic worldview is Sharia. That's why when they emigrate to the West that doesn't follow Sharia, they become even more desperate to implement it, because it's the only thing that provides them certainty to live an Islamic-based life. And that, my friend, is what care intends to do.
Phil, you had mentioned that that we have had an infiltration, a saturation within the DOJ, the FBI, Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, Department of State, academia, etc. Has the Trump White House been penetrated?
I say that's why I use the word lapping on the toes, because just a few weeks ago, there was a meeting at the White House on a new initiative that's been authorized by the Department of Homeland Security. And this is called Faith-Based Safety and Security, Faith-Based Safety and Security Symposium at the White House on September 25th. And guess who was there? The USCMO, U.S. Council for Muslim Organizations, Osama Jamal. He's out of Chicago, the Bridges Mosque in Chicago. He's the leader of the largest coalition of Muslim Brotherhood front group organizations in the United States. And MPAC was there. That is Muslim Public Affairs Council, who was founded by two brothers out of Orange County, California, who were unapologetic members of the Muslim Brotherhood. Said so formal or in the public many times. That's MPAC. They were also there. Including as well, Nihad Awad, the original founder of CARE, the guy I mentioned earlier that was wiretapped clear back to 1993. Proven in federal court that they were front groups for Muslim Brotherhood, connected irrefutably to support of Hamas. So what are they doing sitting right next to the Vice President of the United States? Who's doing the vetting?
And what you have said, though, Phil, is that although we've seen the welcome mat laid out in the previous administration, that if President Trump were not in the White House, things would be even worse.
That's a great paradox, and I hope that I can convey to people that are listening. It's worse than it was during the Obama administration, and I know that by direct personal experience. And if we had the time, I could show you a document. I even put it in a PowerPoint. Captured all of it, why it's worse. But if it weren't for President Trump and his efforts, whatever it is right now, which is worse than during the Obama administration, would be dimensions even worse than that, because President Trump is doing all that he can, but he's getting practically no help whatsoever from the resistance, the people inside the administration who do not support his policies.
Oh, my. We're going to be back in 1 minute. Phil Haney with us here today on Crosstalk. Islamic saturation, our topic, warning for America. Back in 1 minute.
The Bible says that life is but a vapor that's here for a short time and then vanishes away. Scripture also says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Have you ever wondered what happens when you die? In the book, What Happens After Life, author Ron Rose provides a survey of the Bible's teachings about the afterlife. He tracks the destiny for those who know Christ as Savior, and the destiny for unbelievers. He addresses numerous topics, such as the immediate state after death, believers and the judgment seat of Christ, unbelievers and the great white throne judgment, the new heavens and a new earth, the new Jerusalem, and so much more. He even tackles the question of what happens to infants, young children, and those mentally disabled as it relates to eternity. What Happens After Life is available for a donation of $15 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Phil Haney with us today. Islamic saturation, warning for America. And as our guest has said, even though infiltration has been happening within the DOJ, the Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, Department of State, that it's as bad as it is, it would be even worse if it were not for President Trump holding the doors as best he can on this issue, but elements of concern that are going on. Phil, as we, matter of fact, I believe you mentioned you've done a recent talk for United West on this issue?
Yes. It's on the United West. That's all one word. TheUnitedWest.org. If you go on the website and just query National Security Meltdown Islamic Saturation, it'll probably pop right up.
Again, folks, the website, theunitedwest.org. You mentioned also the infiltration to academia, and on so many levels, I just saw the concern, even as a matter came before the U.S. Supreme Court earlier this month, where they declined to take this case of a public school teacher that was requiring her students to recite the Islamic conversion prayer or receive a failing grade. And here we have a student that refused to deny her faith by writing this out. The Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the teacher did not violate the Establishment Clause. I mean, the student was also forced to watch this PowerPoint promoting Islam, saying most Muslims' faith is stronger than the average Christian. Islam at heart is a peaceful religion. Jihad is a personal struggle and devotion to Islam, especially involving spiritual discipline. This student received a failing grade for refusing to do the assignment. The U.S. Supreme Court would not intervene. It has really encroached upon academia, whether it be on the secondary level or elsewhere.
Yeah, there's a movement across the country addressing this very same subject, and it's a very strong movement. You don't hear much about it in the mainstream media, of course, but this concept of saturation applies to academia as well. I know we all know that Georgetown University and Harvard and some of the Ivy League schools have received enormously large endowments from Middle Eastern Muslim countries to promote, you know, the narrative that Islam is a religion of peace. But it also is operating in other colleges, clear down into the high school and elementary school level. So Roy White out of San Antonio, Texas, you can look him up, has a textbook effort going with connections all over the country where they're examining the textbooks and or the curriculum that's being taught in schools all the way across the country. And it's a hard fight for them. But they do have some successes, so that'd be a person you can look up.
Phil, when you talk about the infiltration, the saturation that's happening, can this ship be righted? Is there a pathway forward?
Absolutely. You know, I would have a pretty hard time talking like this if I didn't believe there was hope.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a perfect example of the people, a government of, for, and by the people. Now's the time. I can tell you one way that anybody can get involved is go back when they look up the PowerPoint that we referred to earlier. All the links and the sources to everything that I'm telling you is all there in the notes section of the PowerPoint. Go back and take a look and start with those 102 letters that I mentioned earlier. Look at the names. First of all, see if there's somebody in your own state, maybe in your own district, signed one of those 102 letters from last year, and start with that. Make a phone call. Write a letter. Become involved. Simply ask them, why, sir or ma'am, representative that we elected, are you supporting a known front group for Hamas? Why are you writing letters of support on official government stationery when this organization, by rights, should have been shut down 10 years ago if we had followed up on phase two of the Holy Land Foundation trial? please explain why you're writing these letters. And meanwhile, I'm going to try to find out the other cache of letters that we just mentioned, the 120-plus that CARE is promoting on their own website in the lead-up to this pending event on November 9th. That's only, what, 10 days from now?
Yeah.
9 days from now?
Yeah.
Right there in Washington, D.C. And Ilhan Omar is speaking at it. She's the headliner. The very same one that you mentioned has the CARE T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's going to be speaking as a headliner at that movement. She spoke at CARE when the infamous statement, some people did something. Remember that?
Yeah, some people did some things. Some guy did something, yeah.
That was at a CARE meeting that she spoke at also in D.C. Now we're coming up on a 25th anniversary gala. And it would be really good to know who are those 120 members of Congress.
Yeah, indeed. Well, friends, our phone lines are open at 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. If you'd like to ask a question of our guest today, Phil Haney, he's a founding member of the Department of Homeland Security, also served as a Customs Border Protection Officer. He is author of See Something, Say Nothing, best-selling expose of the Obama administration's submission to the goals and policies of the Muslim Brotherhood, has some 45 years of experience in the strategy and tactics of the global Islamic movement. Again, our number 800-733-9829. And let me again mention the website, theunitedwest.org, theunitedwest.org. They've got a little magnifying glass here, kind of like a little search glass. When you click on that, you can just even put in his name, Haney, H-A-N-E-Y, and one of the first things that pops up is this video presentation, PowerPoint, Enemies Within series, Philip Haney, National Security Meltdown, Islamic Saturation in U.S. Government. You can watch it right there for yourself. Again, theunitedwest.org, and just put in Haney in the search, and you'll find the presentation right there. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. We have Mark calling in from Monroe, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Mark.
Yeah, this is my question. Do you have a rough estimate? I know it's kind of hard, but of what a percentage would be that Washington at this point in time is already infiltrated by the Muslim Brotherhood? And a follow-up question would also be, do you think we're already dangerously close to the maybe being at the tipping point of becoming Sharia?
Thank you, Mark. Phil?
The percentage, I'm going to base it on agencies. I mentioned earlier DOJ, FBI, entire Congress, the military, meaning DOD, DHS, Department of Homeland Security, and DOS. That's what, 6 or 7 major branches of the federal government, where the Muslim Brotherhood has a significantly influential presence in terms of both foreign policy and also domestic policy. For example, the Department of Homeland Security just put out a brand new strategic framework for countering terrorism and targeted violence. That's a lot of words. Strategic framework for countering terrorism and targeted violence. And guess who was invited to participate in the formulation of this new strategic framework policy that is now going to be focused on white supremacy?
Mm-hmm.
That's the new focus. Who was invited? The Muslim Public Affairs Council, who openly said we're cooperating with CARE. The Muslim Brotherhood is now been designated as the arbiter, like the jury, of who is a white supremacist.
Hmm.
Which might include discussions like this, that could be seen by some on the Islamic side of the equation as being Islamophobic. And therefore, we ourselves could be deemed guilty of white supremacists.
Wow. So he's also asking, are we close to a tipping point?
As far as Sharia, I would say no, but I should also add the caveat that there is an organization active in the United States which is a blatant violation of Article 6 of the Constitution, which is the Supremacy Clause, that the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And that organization, I'm going to tell it to you in Arabic so that you can hear a couple words that are very important. It's called Najama Fukaha al-Sharia de Amrikia. That means the Assembly of Muslim Jurists of America. It's a Muslim Brotherhood. It's the center of gravity of the entire network operating right here, right now. It's called the Assembly of Muslim Jurists of America, which is not its name in Arabic. In Arabic, its name is the Group of Sharia Lawyers Promoting Sharia in America. Najama Fukaha al-Sharia de Amrikia. If they say that they don't intend to implement Sharia law, then why is there a high-level organization that does exactly that, called AMJA, A-M-J-A, or the Assembly of Muslim Jurists? That would be a good question to ask members of Congress, wouldn't it?
Let's go to Linda in South Dakota. You're on the air.
Yes, Jim. I have a question for Phil. Phil, I have your book, and man, that was so good and opened my eyes. I appreciate everything you do and that you have spine to stand up against the establishment. But my question for you is, do you know how bad the Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated the state of South Dakota, like the city of Sioux Falls and our state house?
Okay. Thank you, Linda.
Bad enough to get me kicked out of a meeting that was scheduled, or not kicked out, canceled. There's a certain person there in that area who is a very, very strong advocate. I think she's a chairperson. And does all that she can do to keep people like myself from speaking in public, and is sometimes successful.
Yeah.
Our own meeting was shut down. I think that was around this time of the year, last year, if I remember right. So, yeah, you would think in a little bit, you know, not so populated state like the Dakotas that this wouldn't be going on. But, sorry, it's going on everywhere across the country.
Thank you.
In one form or another.
Thank you, Linda. Julie in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is there any kind of a chance that perhaps the Islamic people cannot enter our country at all? I think maybe even President Trump at one time had stopped any of them coming into our country. Can that continue on?
Well, the Supreme Court ruled in his favor just recently that his original executive order to reevaluate whether people from the original seven but then became six countries could even come into the United States. And they based their ruling on immigration code that says the president can refuse entry to anyone from any country for any reason deemed national security. And they upheld it. So, yes, there are pieces in play right now that give us hope.
Thank you, Julie, for the call. A quick break here. We'll come right back to your phone lines, your phone calls to us. Phil Haney is with us, and you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Many people today are pushing what's called Christian Palestinianism. They're anti-Jewish. They're anti-Zionist. They're declaring that, Israel is the new Nazi state, that they're involved in atrocities and genocide, and they're the new apartheid state and racism. Many neo-Calvinists and neo-evangelicals are pushing this, and they're helping Hamas. And I call it Hamasianity. Christians helping Hamas. How? By making enemies of the Jews. Number two, making enemies of righteous Gentiles who defend Israel and their right to the land, legally and divinely. Three, they're stopping Christians from speaking up for the Jews. Four, they're giving validity to Hamas. Five, they're opening the door to interfaith dialogue. Six, helping build a false religious system that persecutes righteous Gentiles and Jews. Seven, convincing more Americans to vote for Islamic candidates that will lead to Sharia in America and America turning its back against Israel. Be very aware of Hamasianity. I'm Brandon House.
friends, there's so much to learn on this very issue. You can see the full presentation at theunitedwest.org, theunitedwest.org. Let's get right back to the phone lines. Jerry in Janesville, you're on the air.
Yeah, my first question is, he scared me to death, your guest there, when he said that the leader of CARE from Chicago was sitting in a meeting with our vice president right there. Did the vice president have blinders on? Didn't he know he was there? Didn't he know who he was? And didn't Trump say that Al-Qaeda is pretty much been, you know, they're done with? We don't have to worry about them anymore. My question is Al-Qaeda and CARE, are they one and the same? And if our vice president was sitting there with this CARE leader, how come he didn't react to that? And does President
okay.
Trump
you've got a lot there. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, well, it's Usama Jamal. He's not the leader of CARE. He's the leader of the USCMO, U.S. Council on Muslim Organizations, which includes CARE. And, yes, he was at the meeting on the 25th of September, 2019, just like Imam Majid Ali, the Imam of Adams Center, the former president of the Islamic Society of North America, gave a prayer during the prayer service at the National Cathedral, 50 feet away from President Trump. So I don't know who's not doing the vetting. I wish I did know. And I've said many times in public, President Trump, if you want to drain the swamp, I can help you. I know where the valves are. Some need to be opened, and some need to be closed. I've been talking about this now in public for 3.5 years. And I'm still waiting for the proverbial call.
Thank you, Jerry, for the call. Let's get to Udell in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air.
Yes, am I on the air now?
You are.
All right. Phil, this is Udell Myers. We served on a panel for World View Weekend, and I just want to commend you, Phil, for continuing to march after the grieving of your wife's passing, and our prayers have been with you. You're certainly a soldier of the faith, and I commend you for going forward. Bill, you've entered into one of the major reasons we're having this problem, of course, with our education. I recently saw a marquee that said, if you think an education's expensive, try ignorance. And we're seeing the price and the cost of ignorance on this whole matter of Islam. Thank you for being a great light in the midst of that darkness that prevails. Paul Sperry, Muslim Infiltration, was my primer to understanding the threat, which is also pursued by John Guandolo, whom you know, a fellow FBI, and for me, a fellow Recon Marine. But all of you are on the cutting edge. Just want you to know that I and those of us that have been enlightened by the true light of the world, we're children of the day, so that these things of darkness don't overcome us. Thank you for being where you are, doing what you do, and thank you, brother, and our prayers continue to be with you.
Well, thank you, friend, and God's people do perish for lack of knowledge,
yeah.
Don't they? That's
thank
where
you.
It starts, and it applies to society, too. It's well past time. There's no reason. This information is not buried, you know, in a cave deep underground. It's open source. Yeah, by the way, I haven't even talked about classified.
Yeah, wow. Udell, thank you for the call. Let's go to Robert in Glendale. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Brother to both of you, Brother Jim and Brother Phil, when we're exposing the truth about these groups, a lot of times we talk about them, but we don't give names of who we're specifically mentioning. Like, you were talking about that lady up there in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a specific reason you can't mention her name on air, or is there
reasons I forgot her name. I'd tell you if I remembered it.
That's why.
Okay. It's easy to look up. You can look it up. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll pop right up. Just query that event that happened in Sioux Falls. Her name will be right there.
Yeah.
Do you know what position she was in? Or do you remember?
Pretty sure she's a CARE rep.
She was a care rep in Sioux Falls, okay? And I want to let you know, I, as Udell just expressed, I express to you my condolences for the promotion of your wife. And I'm sure she's in glory now.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it. We're going to try and squeeze one last call in. Willie, calling from Milwaukee, you're on the air.
I wanted to make a comment on the president sitting next to the gentleman that's a part of the Brotherhood of the Islamic Faith.
The vice president. Mm-hmm.
The vice president. Vice president. Thank you. And what I wanted to say was sometimes you have to meet with your enemy because there's a lot of Muslims here in our country. So sometimes you have to sit down with them and let them know exactly how you feel. We've got to interact with them because we can't get rid of them. So you've got to interact with them somehow.
Okay, Willie, since we're down on time, I'm going to have our guest comment on that issue. Thank you for the call.
Phil. Yeah, I'm all for that, friend. I'm just talking. There's a distinction between immigrants who are Muslim and leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood organization. I have no qualms at all about people representing Islam here, if they follow the Constitution. But the Muslim Brotherhood is an entirely different nature threat. They're not benign. Their intentions are not in our favor. They do not promote and accept the Constitution. And that's the problem, is that these are leaders of a group that's already been, 10 years ago, designated as irrefutably connected to a global terrorist organization, Hamas. That's the difference, friend.
Yeah. And certainly they're not wanting to assimilate into our society. They're wanting actually, Phil, to infiltrate and to take over the society here.
Just the opposite. It's saturation, not
saturation.
Assimilation.
Yeah.
I use saturation because we've been hearing the word infiltration for a long time, and sometimes when you hear a word a lot, it loses its meaning.
Hmm.
So I adopted the phrase saturation because everybody can, you know, picture that, like a sponge.
Yeah.
Water soaking into a sponge.
Phil Haney, our guest today on Crosstalk. Again, check out his latest presentation at theunitedwest.org, theunitedwest.org. Phil, thank you so much for your service to this nation, but also your continued service to our nation here as well by informing people what's really happening.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, friend.
God bless you, Phil. And friends, thanks for joining us today. Keep in mind, the prophet Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.